Luke spends more time on the Christmas story than the other writers of Gospels do. He gives us great information, and Dr. Luke picks up with Mary and the 39th verse of the first chapter. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of the handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us close to Jesus. How we thank you for this time to be in your house, and how we thank you, Father, that you have a plan for this hour in our lives. Bless us now. Draw us closer to you than we have ever been. In Jesus' name, amen. I like Christmas. I hope you do. This is a great, great, great time of the year. The things that happened at Christmas time are absolutely amazing. You know, the world is having a dilemma. I don't know if you know this. The world is structured so a great deal of the economy of the world rests on the purchasing that happens at Christmas. Now, while that's taking place, they're trying to do everything they can do to take the splendor out of Christmas. They're trying to remove Jesus in many ways. They won't allow us to have nativities in public venues. They're trying to make it to where you no longer would say Merry Christmas, but Happy Holidays instead. Bit by bit, chip by chip, trying to remove the reality of why Christmas is Christmas. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, just celebrate the joy. Don't let the negatives get in the way. Don't be bothered when somebody says Happy Holidays. You do know the word holidays means holy days. And so when somebody says Happy Holidays, they're absolutely saying Happy Holy Days, and the only way any day can ever be holy is if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in a way, they're celebrating Jesus without knowing it. And then there are the places that replace Christ in Christmas, and they put a big X there, and they have Xmas. Well, you know what? That's not bad either. The X in Greek is the letter Chi. Chi stands for Christ. So they're not removing Christ, they're magnifying Christ. And so anything they do to take Jesus out only magnifies the fact that he has to be in. The attack on Christianity goes on, but Jesus continues to be exalted. At this time of the year, most of the stores you go into are playing music. I like Christmas. I don't go to a lot of stores during the year, but at Christmas I like to be in them because they're playing music that points to Jesus. And so in my mind, I sing along, and sometimes words kind of just slip out of my mouth. It's an amazing thing. I just enjoy the season. I'm not offended by those that wish me happy holidays. No, I understand what that means. And I'll continue to say Merry Christmas because I'm going to elevate Jesus. And by the way, in the past 2 years, more and more people are going back to Merry Christmas. I will continue to point people to what makes Christmas special, and that is Jesus. Now, Becky, my wife's favorite song is Joy to the World. Think of it, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Well, this is a season for people to receive Jesus. This is the season for us to tell people about Him. G. Campbell Morgan said, Luke, the artist, has gathered a collection of, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, of stories that reveal the fact that when Jesus came into the world, poetry expressed itself and music was reborn. Did you know Dr. Luke records the very first Christmas carol? There is Elizabeth's song. It's found in Luke 1, 22 through 45. Now, you may not be familiar with Elizabeth's song, but you've probably heard of a song called Ave Maria. Now, Ave Maria actually twists Elizabeth's song into something that it was never intended by God to be. Ave Maria is actually a prayer to Mary. It elevates Mary to the spot of being a mediator between us and God. Nowhere in the Bible are we instructed to pray to Mary. Nowhere in the Bible will you find any person praying to any other person, living or dead. Mary should not be elevated to a standing above Jesus, but she should be respected. And by the way, in case you've ever wondered, that's why we never sing Ave Maria, because it's inappropriate. But the song is beautiful. Elizabeth's song, as written in Scripture, is a blessing and a challenge to us. After Elizabeth's song in the Bible, you have Mary's song. It's called the Magnificat. Then there's Zechariah's song, the Benedictus. There's Anna's song. And then there's the angel's song. Yes, all poetry, and yet music to our ears. Gloria. The good news of Christmas fills the air and fills our hearts with song. So after Gabriel had left Mary, telling Mary what was going to happen, she had to decide, who do I tell? Can I tell anybody? Certainly, you would think she would go to her parents, but her parents aren't mentioned. It's believed that Mary's parents actually had already passed away and that she was an orphan. Perhaps she would tell Joseph, but Joseph is not going to know what to do. And then she thinks of what the angel had said. Her cousin Elizabeth, known to be barren, an old woman at this time, was going to have a child. There was a miracle taking place in Elizabeth's life. Elizabeth was her cousin, and so she thinks, well, if this is going on in Elizabeth's life, she may understand. And so the angel convinced Mary of the possibility of a miracle. If God could bring an old woman, ancient of days, over 80 years of age, to pregnancy, if God could put life in Elizabeth's dead womb, Mary thought, God can put life in my virgin womb. But both would be miracles, amazing miracles. And so, knowing that God was doing a work in Elizabeth by the angel's word, she travels about 90 miles. And by the way, that would have been by foot. And she comes to where Elizabeth is. Mary so surprised her cousin that there's an interchange that takes place. She goes to Zacharias and Elizabeth's home. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb for joy. The Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to think about how much Mary must have been trusting what the angel told her. The last place an unmarried pregnant woman would want to go would be to a priest's house. What happened to a woman who was found with an illegitimate child? They would go before a priest, they would be tried, and then they would be punished, and one of the punishments is being stoned to death. The last place she would go is to Zechariah's home. Unless, of course, she believed God. And so Mary had a great faith. She's believing God, that God's working in Elizabeth, that God's working in Zechariah, that God's bringing a miracle baby there, and God's going to bring a miracle baby to her. And so what we find in this passage is Mary's surrender in verse 42. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." In verse 45, it goes on to say, "And blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of the things which were told to her." You know, I imagine Mary had kind of gone over in her mind what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it. I mean, an angel came to me, and nobody's ever had that happen that I know of. And so I'm going to have to convince them. And so how am I going to put these words? And she probably went through it in her mind again and again and again. She's going to a priest's house. It's got to be exact. She's got to be convincing. But Mary wouldn't have to worry about those things because God had prepared the way for her. God was working in Elizabeth. God was working in Zechariah. God's working in Mary. God's putting everything together so Mary can believe. Mary surrendered completely her belief in God's message to her. She knew that God was doing a work. She put her life on the line to visit Elizabeth in a priest's home. God took care of all the details. Listen, when you surrender to God's will, I want you to know He's taking care of all the details. He's got you covered. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows the ugly. He knows what is best for your life. And if you will surrender to His will, He is going to work in and through your life. That's what God was doing in Mary. And so God had Gabriel wait 6 months before going to Mary. Now, 6 months. In those 6 months, Elizabeth had changed. Now, she was expecting. She was 6 months expecting. Typically, when 6 months comes around, you not only feel pregnant, you look a little pregnant. And so she would have taken on the countenance of someone expecting a child. Mary was willing to go, and she sees Elizabeth, and she sees, and just the moment she looks at her, she knows that God has done a miracle in Elizabeth's life. God's Spirit filled Elizabeth when Mary came, and immediately Elizabeth knew Mary's secret. The Holy Spirit let Elizabeth know, but the Holy Spirit let Elizabeth's baby know. Now get this. The baby leaped. And the words in the Bible says that the baby leaped with an emotion of joy. 6 months, perhaps 7 months old. John the Baptist there in Elizabeth's womb. John would have been about 14 inches long by that time, 14 inches tall. He would have weighed maybe about a pound and a half. His bones would have almost been solid. And at 6 months, most women kind of know when the baby moves. Now, obviously, I know nothing of this. other than what I'm told. I've heard women say that it's kind of like butterflies at first. Then I've heard others say it's more like chimpanzees. I've had women say that it's kind of like a tumbling in your stomach. And then there are others that say, my child is going toward the Olympic gymnastics team. The fact that God identifies John at 6 months leaping for joy tells you that John was able at 6 months in his spirit to identify with Jesus. Tells you something else. Anybody that's ever thought about abortion needs to rethink it. Because if the child in Elizabeth's womb at 6 months had the ability to be joyful, certainly that's not a mere fetus. That's a person. The acknowledgement of Elizabeth and the baby John by the power of God's Holy Spirit confirmed in Mary that God was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. It was real. The Messiah was going to come, and she was going to be the mom of the Messiah, and she was already expecting. She even goes further to identify Jesus in verse 43. Elizabeth says, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me?" Now, I don't know if you've been around a lot of new moms. This I know about new moms. They love their child. They think their child is the absolute best child, an absolute most beautiful child, most intelligent child, the greatest child to ever live. Elizabeth does an amazing thing. Now, most moms will look at somebody else's baby and they will ooh and ah at it. And in their minds, they'll know, my kid's better. Elizabeth looks at Mary and elevates Mary's child above her own. That's amazing. That's kind of a God thing. It's all the assurance that Mary needed. She had surrendered to what God said. God said it, she believed it. My friend, you need to believe what God says. God will give you all the evidence you need to believe. And so God gave Mary all she needed to believe, and Mary begins her song. In verse 46, we see Mary's salvation. And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Here in these verses, we have a very important thing happening in Mary. Mary tells you that she is a sinner. Mary tells you that she needs a Savior. Mary tells you that she is not perfect. Mary tells you that God has provided her Savior, and by the way, our Savior, in the child that she would bear. The Messiah that was promised was coming. She was going to be the one to bear that child, but the child was more important than her. The child would become her Savior. The child would be willing to die for her sin, and for your sin and my sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Mary was indeed a sinner. You are indeed a sinner. I am indeed a sinner, and all sinners need a Savior. We're not good enough to get to God on our own. We cannot erase even one of our sins, and all of us have sinned. Then came Jesus, who would live a life of perfection, who would give himself on Calvary's cross, who would give his all for you and for me. Now, Mary knew she was not perfect. She also knew God promised the Messiah. Through Jesus, God was going to do an amazing thing. Jesus had not spoken the words, But in her words, you understand, she knew John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. She's saying, God so loved the world that he's doing a miracle in me and has put Jesus in me. Well, she begins her song, Magnify the Lord. She's had a one-on-one intimate experience with the greatness and ability of God. She knows that she's a virgin. She knows that she has never had sexual relations. She knows how normal babies come into existence and that this is not the normal way. She knows that she is now expecting that God has worked a miracle. She sees in her eyes the miracle God is doing in Elizabeth, and she knows God will carry out the miracle in her. She could have never imagined what God had done. She could magnify God because he was greater than her dream. Listen, do you have a problem? A lot of problems on planet Earth, and maybe you're going through one right now. I want you to know that God is greater than your problem. Do you have a fear? Think about this young girl, teenage girl, with child, no, not a husband yet, engaged, but never had sex. She has a child. Nobody's going to understand. But God understood. And God is equipping her with the faith to carry on. God can care for your problems the way he cared for Mary. In fact, the child she gave Mary is the answer to most of your problems. You need to decide you're going to put your faith in God. Listen, you're either going to use your fear to magnify your problems or you're going to use God to magnify your faith. Now, she trusts. She's going to magnify the Lord and his power to change things spiritually as well as physically. She's trusting him to save her from her sins. She rejoices in song because of what God has done. 8 times in this passage, she proclaims what God has done. Mary's able to rejoice. She knows God's word. And yes, she's a teenager, just a girl. But this teenager has paid attention in church. You see, the only time she would have really had the scripture was when she would sit in synagogue and the scripture would be read. And so when the passages were read, she had latched on to them. She quotes from 1 Samuel 2, which is Hannah's song. She quotes from Psalms. In fact, 15 times in this passage, she quotes the Bible that she held in her heart. Maybe that gives you some kind of idea why God chose Mary. Mary believed God's word. She trusted God's word. She had God's word in her heart. Now, she didn't know the hit songs of the day. She didn't have an iPhone to pull them up. But she had God's songs hidden in her heart, and she had God's word. She could have joy because she had gotten into the word, and she had gotten the word into her. She sings about God's mercy. A teenager, yes. Engaged to a poor carpenter. The world was going to look down on her. But in God's mercy, he regarded her. God chose her out of all the women that had ever lived. Mary would be the mother of the Messiah. She did not deserve that. Yet God in his mercy would not give her what she deserved. Praise God. I don't want what I deserve. I pray for God's mercy. God's mercy is when God gives you what you don't deserve. He doesn't give you what you deserve. He doesn't punish you as you deserve. Verse 49, she sings of God's might. He would use all of his love and power to bring his son into the world that he might go to a cross and die for our sins. Have you ever thought of all God did to bring you a Savior? To bring Jesus only so that he could be crucified? Mary thought of those things. And then we see Mary's solicitation. In verse 50, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. God is willing to give his mercy to all who will fear and respect his son, to all that will put their faith in him. In verses 51 through 53, Mary tells of three groups of people that get mercy. If you're in these three groups, you qualify for mercy. There are the helpless, the humble, and the hungry. When you realize you're a sinner, when you realize that you can't save yourself, when you realize there's nothing you can do to erase your sin, when you realize that you are helpless before God, then God will be merciful to you. When you go to God and you allow God to know that you are a sinner and you need a Savior and you throw yourself upon His mercy, you will find His mercy. I praise God for the mercy that's willing to forgive me. When you are willing to turn from your pride and bow down to Jesus and let Jesus be Lord of all, then God will show mercy. You know what keeps most people from God? Their pride. Their inability to admit that they're a sinner. Their inability to admit that there's something wrong with them. Their inability to come to a decision that says, I know that I am unworthy. I know that I am a sinner. I know that I don't deserve God's best. And when you are willing to bow yourself down and understand, I am nothing and you are everything, God is willing to pour His mercy on you. Oh, praise God for His mercy. Mary sings of God's faithfulness to Israel. She says that God will show you mercy if you are hungry. Now, hungry. You know what hungry is? All of those of you that have been thinking about what you're going to eat as soon as I shut up. Hungry. Think about being hungry. Hungry to be right with God. Hungry to want to be forgiven. Hungry to want to have things right. Hungry to want to be able to pray and God answer prayers. Hungry to be in a relationship with Almighty God. Hungry to know that when you die, you'll be in heaven. Hungry to know that God is going to take care of all your fears, of all your needs, of all your cares. When you are hungry enough to want God's righteousness above all, God will show you mercy. And He will pour more mercy on you than you ever dreamed possible. Mary knew that God had provided for Israel, and He had provided for all through the child that she would bear. And through Jesus, she would find mercy. Through Jesus, you can find mercy. Mary was going to stay 3 more months with Elizabeth and Zechariah, and then she would return home. The testimony of her song is a solicitation. She is soliciting you to come to Jesus. She is pleading with us to acknowledge that the child that she bore is the Messiah, is the one that came to die for our sins, to be buried, to rise again, is the one that can forgive you and forgive me, is the one that can give us life that we don't deserve, peace that we don't deserve, hope that we don't deserve. And it all comes when we say yes to Jesus. Mary said yes to God, yes to Jesus, and acknowledged him as God her Savior. Today, if you've never done that, you need to do so. If you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, you need to invite him to come into your heart. You need to be able to say, God, I want you as my Savior. Forgive my sins, save my soul. If you will reach out to Jesus, my friend, he will reach out to you and he will save your soul today and he will meet you at your point of need. Now, if you're already a believer, shouldn't you be telling somebody about this? Shouldn't you be sharing a little bit of what God has done for you? Mary was willing to tell a priest of all people in that day. Certainly we can tell those around us. Jesus, the Savior, has come. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for Mary and her faith. We thank you, Father, that Jesus was willing to come, willing to lay himself down, willing to die for us, that we might have life, that we might have forgiveness, that we might have peace, that we might have your mercy. Father, right now, move in our hearts, draw us to decisions. Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, let them come to know you. If there's those here, Father, that need to have a church home and you've decided that this is the place, lead them to become part of this church family. Father, for believers, that we would lay our all on the altar and we would be willing to follow you from this day forward. Thank you, Father, for what you will do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing.